Amen. We now come to the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. And so far, Paul has laid a firm groundwork for what he is about to say, which is so clear I'm almost tempted to read it without commentary. I will probably read some vast portions of it without commentary, because really, based on everything I've said, this should come thundering down like a hammer, confirming every single word. Paul laid the groundwork, the judgment of God against sinners, against sin. Still, the forbearance of God towards us, that we could come to repentance, that he might forgive our sins, the sins that are past, and give us grace. Well, grace brought us that far. Grace came before all that. It comes when we, to lead us to repentance, the forbearance of God, that's grace right there. And the ability that we should have to have faith enough to say, I repent, that's grace too. It went through Abraham, the faith of Abraham, how we are the seed of faith, the children of Abraham, who seek the grace of God, and seek to attain the promises of God by faith. We believe in the things that he has said. So on all this, he's gone through how sin came into the world by one offense, right? The offense of one. But so by the righteousness of another, grace abounds to many. And with that grace came the gift of righteousness. And the gift of righteousness brought about something even greater. Eternal life. So grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life. So, and this is sort of the conclusion of the previous chapter. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid! Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when you consider everything I said up to that point, I mean, really, that's just, it's all right there. I almost feel like, with my understanding, I'm like, I don't need to comment on that chapter at all. I feel like that could have been my conclusion, but we'll look at it in case there was anything confusing. Hopefully I'll cover that and make it understandable if it wasn't already. I said, these God forbid statements, they're always to these very rhetorical questions that are, the answer should be obvious, right? Oh, let's go through it. I could go through it again. Maybe I should just read it all over again. Maybe you should just rewind that part and listen to that all over again. Really. If you love the Word of God, you probably will. Probably already did. So how shall we that are dead to sin? Now, he introduces this new idea. We're dead to sin. Now, again, I view this in my experience. Okay. Now, I was once a drunkard. When God delivered me from that, I never went back. I'm dead to drunkenness. Now, I believe every word of Paul here, but my experience has yielded me some times when God had to forbear with me, because, well, drunkenness and drugs, you know, whether that be intemperateness or drunkenness itself is a sin. Though those things may have been completely dead. I mean, after God delivered me, this was like some almost exactly 4 years ago. 4 years ago, actually, it was exactly 4 years ago of the day of this recording, now that I think about it. Well, let's see. It was actually 2 days ago, okay. It was the 21st of March, 2005. And God took away, and those things have been just dead. What it means is, see, he's going to talk a lot about sin in chapter 7. And sin is like this living thing. It's like when Eve looked at the tree. It looked good. It looked like something you'd want to eat. To be desired to make one wise. I mean, you know what I mean?